Hey, we are coming off the heels of a terrific sermon by Ken Starlin last week on Psalm 69. I listened to it a couple times. And I'll tell you, it is going to be a springboard into our time in Acts chapter 4 here. Your outline might say Acts chapter 3 through Acts chapter 4, verse 32, but truthfully, that we switch that around. It's just completely Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 32. That's going to be our focus for today. As Ken shared about coming to that place of faith last week, when we can't rely upon our own resources, anything else that we have except for Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And that's a good place to come to. When we come to that place of faith, as Ken shared, then a natural byproduct of coming to that place of faith really is boldness to speak the word of God. And that's our focus for today, is boldness to speak the word of God. So let me pray one more time. Lord, thank you so much for our time. Of course, we ask, Lord, that you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, God. Guide us into all truth. Lord, fill us with love for one another. And help us to call to remembrance your words, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to understand your word right now through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to dive right into Acts chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 through 32. So please follow along as I read aloud. Now as they, Peter and John, spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, which is really the Sanhedrin all combined, Pharisees and Sadducees, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And again, there it is, always included in a sermon from the book of Acts, the resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. We're trusting those men went home and shared with their wives and their kids too, so it was probably a much bigger number eventually. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And those names should look familiar because we just spoke of those names in the Gospel of John, those ones that conspired against Jesus to betray him and to lead him to the crucifixion. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Again, that's Psalm 118, David speaking prophetically of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, yours might say ignorant, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no one in his name. Verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what they had seen, what had been done. And again, that's the right direction of praise. They weren't praising the instruments any longer. They were praising God. Continuing, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And again, This is Luke writing. Luke was very much a detailed man. He was a physician, so he had described previously how the man's feet had been just out of socket and twisted from birth. Verse 23, and being let go, they, Peter and John, went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So again, this is prophecy being fulfilled right in their very time, right before their eyes. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wow. You know, some chapters of the Bible give us extra inspiration, and I think this is one of them, as we see that they didn't pray for the threats to end. They prayed that they would be bold in the face of all these threats. And that's one of the characteristics, or maybe one of the descriptions of boldness. There's an urgency, there's a threat, and there's an opportunity to deliver the word of God. So last week, again, going back to Ken shared a terrific message, Psalm 69, the place of faith. And just to, I guess, give you a stepping stone into today's sermon, in the context of the psalm, David was experiencing physical and mental anguish and grief, possibly because it was the end of his life and enemies had surrounded him. So he cries out to God for help, for comfort, and for salvation. And with David, all the things he used to count on were gone. His health, he had weakened. He wasn't the vibrant young man who slew Goliath. His status, his popularity had waned, and he had nothing left. His enemies were surrounding him. His past sins were surrounding him. If you read Psalm 69 also, they were closing in on him. So with nowhere to flee, no family and friends surrounding him to speak of, he goes to the only place that he knows is going to bring him safety. He goes to the place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cries out to God. He says, but as for me, my prayer is to you. Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the deep waters. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. And he puts his faith in the Lord. He comes to that place of faith. Just like Elijah came to that place of faith when Jezebel was pursuing him. Just like Abraham came to the place of faith when God called him out of his country that he knew so well, the familiar surroundings, and said, I'm going to bring you to a new place. Just like Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah did as King Nebuchadnezzar had threatened them with throwing them in the fiery furnace when they refused to bow down to him, they came to the place of faith. And in all these instances, the Lord delivered them. And they acted upon, as in the Acts of the Apostles, they acted upon their faith that they had in the Lord. And really, that's the book of Acts. It's the actions of the apostles. Or really, some would say the actions of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Because none of these things are done without the power of the Holy Spirit filling them and urging them on and giving them the words to speak in those moments when it's very, very scary and frightful and fearful. And oftentimes, speaking the word of God boldly happens in a fearful context. To say that, I guess you might say, fear is the opposite of boldness, I wouldn't say so, because I think you can be filled with fear, but yet speak the word of God boldly, as we're going to see. Now, Ken was so good to remind us last week that this type of faith is not only given to Bible people, but to normal people. Ken shared that people like D.L. Moody, who was born into poverty, whose father was an alcoholic, whose father died when he was four, who had no more than 7 years of education, who left home when he was 10 years old, God used him. God filled him. God met him. And God had a plan to bring him out of this economic and spiritual poverty that included his uncle's shoe store and a Sunday school teacher, basically. As he began working for his uncle at 17, and then his Sunday school teacher came along and, boy, laid on the message of salvation to D.L. Moody. Dwight Lyman was his name, and you can see why he goes by D.L. Dwight Lyman, sorry if anybody's named Dwight, I don't mean that as a bad thing, but anyway, Dwight Lyman Moody came to Christ at 17 years old. And man, I'll tell you, the Lord began to open up a whole new way of living for him and a whole new door to love the people that were the impoverished ones in Chicago, the adults and the children. And the thing is, as God opened up this vision to him to bring these people to church and bring the gospel to them, D.L. Moody doubted himself heavily. He doubted his own abilities and his skills, and even thought about his limited education. But you know, as we go through the Bible, we see that God's never given much weight to ability or skills. He doesn't. Instead, he gives a lot of weight to availability and faith in him. Those are the things that God honors and cherishes, availability and faith. And of course, as Ken shared, God spoke to his heart and his mind. He chose to follow God, to trust in God, to obey God, to live in that place of faith. And man, when he came to that place, he took action. And now we're seeing the results in Chicago of Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church and so many things that were just done at a step at a time. He just didn't all of a sudden buy all this land up. It was one step at a time. He rented the pews for the kids and the adults at the church. You used to have to rent your space. I thought that was fascinating to think about, that people would rent a booth at a church. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that? These are free seats here. But then he rented a building in an inner city neighborhood. And he started the Sunday school, and then he rented more buildings, and pretty soon thousands of people were coming to church and to faith in Christ Jesus. And again, Ken went on to speak about George Mueller and Billy Sunday, and these were ordinary guys. But even so, even as I listened to the sermon, I thought, well, they're kind of ordinary guys. I mean, they're heroes of the faith. And so we look for more ordinary people. And so we think, okay, what about today? Who has come to that place of faith and speaks the word of God with boldness in our culture? Well, I thought about a few of them. Thought about people like Tim Tebow, maybe. Maybe you think about people like Billy Graham. You think about Bethany Hamilton. You think about even Mandisa, season 5, American Idol. Man, she spoke the word of God with boldness. She did. When she put it right to Simon Cowell that she forgave him in the name of Jesus, like on national television, I went, wow, now that is bold. She did it. She knocked it out of the park. You know, Lauren Daigle. And even more recently, you think of people like Kanye West. God bless that guy, man, who Christ has delivered and has given him a whole new vision, a whole new message. And there are those who look upon him, you know, kind of skeptically, maybe a little cynically. But I say, God bless that guy. Give him boldness to go into those places that you and I would not go into. And man, he's going to be speaking at Kobe Bryant's funeral. And I'll tell you what, let's pray that he speaks the word of God with boldness, because there's going to be a lot of people there who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And man, for such a time as this, that Kanye is going to step into that place and proclaim the word of God, it's going to be awesome. It really is. So all those people acted upon their moments. You know, they had their moment of faith, coming to that place of faith, as Ken told us. And that inspires us. But it doesn't qualify us. It doesn't satisfy us. Because God has called us, Ken reminded us, each and every one of us, to come to that place of faith and to put us in a place where we speak the word of God with boldness. And we have to decide if we're going to come to that place of faith and take action. And finally, Ken wrapped it up by saying, how do we do it? And tell you what, it's the same way that we acquire this boldness. First of all, we don't rely upon our own strength. We trust in the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you, says the Lord. We trust that God will see us through it, being confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in us be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. And we learn God's word. As he mentioned, I love the example that Ken gave. He said, I prayed for faith, think that it would strike me like lightning, but it didn't come. Then I read in the 10th chapter of Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He says, I used to close my Bible and pray for faith. Then I opened my Bible and began to study the word of God, and faith began to grow in me. And again, boy, all we have to do is read the letter to Timothy, where it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman and not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying God's word brings us to a place of faith, and it brings us the boldness we're talking about today, that ability to share the word of God in the face of fear. The ability to act decisively upon our faith in Christ Jesus is most commonly known as boldness. When we think about our Christian circles here, and we say, wow, my goodness, Fred Slaughter, he's so bold with the word of God. How does he do that? Well, it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, overflowing us, helping us to call to remembrance the words and the works of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the resurrected, living Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone of our faith. Our whole lives, the whole church, I'm talking about the universal church, throughout the whole world, is built upon Jesus Christ. Without him, the whole thing falls apart. You pull him out, it falls, it crumbles. All we have is the resurrected Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, we put our eggs in one basket. We're guilty, totally guilty, of putting all our hopes, all our trust in one thing, and that's the resurrected Jesus Christ. And as Paul said in our text today, he said, I'm not Paul, as I should say, the writer of Acts, Luke, writing of Peter's words, Peter said, there is salvation in no other name. There is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. Now, that's one way. Some people would say, that's so narrow-minded. How can you possibly say that? Hey, man, Jesus said it. I'm the way. He didn't say, I'm one of 100 ways. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm it. The building is burning. Somebody says, man, that's the only door you can go through. You can say, I'm going to choose to go through that window over there. Hey, man, you're not going to make it. The boat's going down. The ship is sinking. There's one life raft there. And the captain says, hey, there it is, right there. That's your way out. You can say, man, I'm going to swim it. I could swim 26 miles. I'm going to make it. You know, okay, go ahead. But here's the way out. Here's the sure way out. Take it. Jesus said that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation in no other name by which a man can be saved, or a woman. Boldness, man. And knowing the words and works of Jesus, again, gives us boldness. That's why, as Ken said, studying the Word of God, spend time in the Word of God. We are filled with boldness when we know a lot about something. I'm going to give you a couple examples. Let me give you three examples. From the time I was probably 7 years old until the time I was 14, I've shared this before, I was a big fan of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I was born in Los Angeles. I was born in Inglewood, right across, really, from the Forum, close to the Staples Center. And, man, the Los Angeles Dodgers were it. And that's kind of ironic because my dad and my grandpa were from Buffalo, New York. They were huge Yankees fans. When the Dodgers left Brooklyn, man, they turned their backs on the Dodgers. The Dodgers had betrayed New York, and so they had nothing to do with them. But I, being a young boy, wanting to have something of my own, a team of my own, I said, I'm going to choose the Dodgers. And as it would have it, the Dodgers and the Yankees are like nemesis. I mean, they're just contrary to one another, aren't they? But that was my team. And again, to this day, I can still recall the team. I can still see Tommy John pitching. I can see Joe Ferguson or Steve Yeager catching. Steve Garvey on first, Davey Lopes on second, Bill Russell on shortstop, Ron Say on third, left field maybe Bill Buckner, center field Dusty Baker, and once in a while you'd have Rick Monday in right field there, or Reggie Smith, either one of them. And of course, Tommy Lasorda was the manager. He's the man that they say bled Dodger blue. That's what his blood was blue because he bled Dodger blue. Anyway, that's what he said. And, you know, it was kind of a bonus that he was Italian, right? So I'm from this Italian family, and Tommy Lasorda, loud and obnoxious. You know, my dad and my grandpa loved him. But anyway, so I read about each player. I imitated them, especially Ron Say. I was a third baseman, so, man, I wanted to be just like the Penguin, you know. I tried to run like him, but it's hard to run like him because that was like a birth defect. He didn't run like that as a style. He couldn't run any differently. They called him the Penguin, but he loved the name, actually. And I wore the colors again, and you know, I tried to be just like them. And the more knowledge I gained and the more success the Dodgers had, especially against the Cincinnati Reds and the Yankees, the more bold I became to talk about them. I would talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers to just about anybody who would listen. I identified myself with the Los Angeles Dodgers completely. And so, man, when it was school time, I was in there. I was, man, if somebody said their team was better, no, my team was way better than your team. And we would just go at it. So when I turned 15, of course, I became more self-focused, as a lot of teenagers do. And I was less team-oriented. And although I played baseball competitively all the way through high school, I began to devote myself more to personal fitness. And and weightlifting and wrestling and running, eating healthy. And the more knowledge and success I had in these areas, the bolder I became. And I completely identified myself with physical fitness and nutrition. And again, I would talk to just about anybody who would listen for those few years, I'd say 15 to 18 or 19, where I was just consumed with those things. Well, about a month after before I turned 16, I attended an outdoor concert with my best friend. And of course, it was at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I've shared this before. But there were three very cool contemporary Christian bands playing at the time. They were kind of a mix of new wave and punk bands. There was a band called Undercover, the 77s, and the Altar Boys. Those were the names of the groups. And again, they had a kind of a rebellious sound, but it was all Christian lyrics. And my friend and I knew there was going to be a lot of cute girls there too, so that was a bonus. So we went 1980, May 1980, and there we went off to the concert. And just like I shared earlier in Acts chapter 2, there was the crowd, the music was exciting, a well-known surfer opened up in prayer, and then the main speaker, Randy Ziegler, came and preached the gospel. And sure enough, that night, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, just a little shy of 16 years old. I was born again of the Spirit. And the more I learned about Jesus and the more success I had in my life over sins that used to just wipe me out, the bolder I became. And I began to identify myself with Jesus Christ more than with my wrestling team even, which was tough, difficult, man, because I love my team. But and that launched me into these years of talking about Jesus Christ. I remember going to the Huntington Beach Pier with some of my friends, and we would just, man, we were ready to share the gospel on the pier with anybody who was walking the pier. And so that was exciting times for me. But something happened between the ages of probably 19 to 23. I got popular, especially in the surf culture of Huntington Beach. I spent a lot of time in the water. And I began to surround myself with a circle of friends, which was very cool and very pleasurable and very well known. But sure enough, slowly and surely, my devotion shifted from Jesus Christ to other things and other people besides Jesus Christ. And soon I lost my boldness for Jesus Christ. And like the Church of Ephesus, I lost my first love. I lost my first love. And I replaced it with another and another and another. Well, thank God, I was in that fog for probably maybe 4 years. And when I finally came out of that fog and I came to the end of myself, and I realized that the world with all of its popularity and all of its pleasure had nothing to satisfy my soul. Nothing could satisfy my soul like Jesus Christ had done. And so like the prodigal son, I repented and I turned myself back. I just took that one step, and there was Jesus. I didn't have to climb a ladder. I didn't have to go through a 12-step class. Man, he was right there to receive me back, and he restored me. And slowly but surely, the more I spent time with him, the closer I walked with him, the more I learned about him, the more I began to identify myself with him again, the bolder I became. And once again, I began to talk about him to just about anybody who would listen. Walking closely with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, being filled with the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, identifying ourselves with him, all these things together create a boldness within us to speak the word of God. And all we have to do is go back to verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, uneducated men, or again, ignorant men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. This is that time of being with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Being filled with him. Identifying ourselves with him. John Bloom is an author and a co-founder of a site called Desiring God. He founded this site with John Piper, who some of you know. Pretty famous pastor. A Christian apologist. Anyway, this is a site that is a creator of resources and a distributor of things which incorporates this dynamic website called Compelling Truth. And he says this. He said, boldness in the biblical sense is acting by the power of the Holy Spirit on an urgent conviction in the face of some threat. He continues, the three ingredients to Christian boldness, Spirit-empowered conviction, courage, and urgency. If one of these ingredients is missing, we won't act boldly. Without sufficient conviction that something ought to be said or done, what's there to be bold about? Without sufficient courage, we don't have enough fiber in our conviction to face opposition or threats, whether perceived or real. Without a sufficient sense of urgency, we lack the fire under our feet to get us moving. I thought that was pretty accurate. Spirit-empowered conviction, courage, and urgency. As I mentioned before, usually this moment of acting with boldness comes at a time when there's a threat. Something is frightening us. And I want to give you a few examples in the book of Acts. Because we shouldn't think that every time we go into a situation that the boldness is going to take away the fear. Oftentimes, we maintain some fearfulness in a situation, but yet we're willing to face that threat by the power of the Holy Spirit to still speak. In Antioch, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly when the Jews publicly reviled them. In Iconium, they were vigorously opposed to the point of violence, so they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord. That's from Acts chapter 14. Acts 18, in Ephesus, Apollos spoke boldly in the synagogue. He spoke the name of Jesus Christ to the Jews, who up until that point were still waiting for the Messiah, and he spoke the new covenant in Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, Paul taught in the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And if you read the book of Acts, sometimes they were going to physically tear Paul apart. One group would take him by one hand, someone would take him by this, and they would pull him. They were going to break him like a wishbone. And they had to go in there and say, we got to get this guy out of there. They're going to tear him apart. In Caesarea, when Paul was in prison, he spoke boldly to King Agrippa. And the last thing we know about Paul is that while under house arrest in Rome, he went on proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So fear was present in all these situations. Now, I'm so glad that Ken again reminded us last week that this type of boldness, again, is not limited to Bible people. So as we said, you've got those D.L. Moody's, you've got those Billy Sundays, you've got those George Mueller's, all did great things. And then we've got the modern ones, like we just shared, Tim Tebow, Kanye West, Bethany Hamilton, Soul Surfer, Beth Moore, Lauren Daigle. But how about right here? How about we bring it down right to this church, right to this room? I want to share a few people that I think have spoken the word of God boldly in this place. And I think about one that has gone before us here, Robert Lee's wife. Robert's sitting right there. His wife, Marl, died about 10 months ago. And Marl Lee's reached out to those kids who were strung out on drugs in Venice and also in San Francisco. Man, she reached out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. And she spoke the word of God with boldness to them. Not only that, but she spoke the word of God with boldness to me. I went to their house a month, maybe not even a month, 2 weeks before I was going to take over for Pastor Rick here. And I knew she had cancer. And so I thought, I'm going to go and minister tomorrow and share Jesus' love with her. But you know what she did? She turned it right around on me, man. She said, no, you're not here for that. I'm going to encourage you. And she instead made lunch for us. She spoke, she read the scriptures to us. And man, she spoke the word of God boldly to me instead of me speaking to her. And I was filled. I got to tell you, I poured out a lot of tears as she spoke the word of God to me, thinking this woman's dying and she's speaking life to me. And that was an awesome moment that your wife ministered to me, Robert. And you know that we were both there. I think of Loretta Sparks, who brings the joy of the Lord and prayer to the homeless population in San Diego and North County. She ministers Jesus' love to people in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ, speaking the word of God with boldness and with lots of love too. As a matter of fact, Verna Grimes, who was here, Bob Grimes was here just a few weeks ago, said, please pray for my wife. She's going to have surgery. Well, she got to the hospital and they said, you can't have surgery. You have an infection. And as you know, man, no infection, no surgery, right? Anything like that. So she was distraught. She was bummed out. She was so ready to have the surgery. And wouldn't you know it, who does God put in her path at the same hospital that day? Loretta Sparks, who comes up behind her and says, I can see there's something really bothering you. Can I pray for you? And the lady says, I recognize you. And so Loretta prays for her, and all of a sudden, man, the sadness, the sorrow, the frustration is lifted as Loretta speaks the word of God boldly to Verna Grimes. And Verna called me and said, I want to tell you about somebody in your church. I thought she was going to be mad about somebody. She says, there's a woman that she has blonde hair and she's kind of tall. And I was waiting for the bomb to drop. She says, she prayed for me in the hospital. And I didn't feel like it, but I'm so glad she did because I felt so much better after she prayed for me. And praise God, you were so bold to do that, and you had the eyes to see her. Exactly. I think of Diana Lee, who comes to church in the evening here, but Diana Lee, who works at Mother's Pie, she's probably placed as many as 1,000 Bible tracts a year. Moms, I said mothers, but I'm using the formal mothers. Mother's pies, mom's pies. Yeah. Maybe I looked at Teak, I thought, respectfully, I'm going to keep mothers, because it's his mother, so, gosh. Mom's pies. She puts about 1,000 Bible tracts a year throughout Julian in both English and Spanish. You know, she does that. And she gets the word of God out with boldness, the spoken word of God. Terry Linthicum. Is Terry here? I don't see him. I don't know if he's here today. But Terry Linthicum, he speaks the word of God boldly to those men who are incarcerated in prison. He's going to share here in a few weeks about this ministry that he is part of called Pastors to Prisoners. And he goes down to El Centro, into the prisons, a lot like Fred Slaughter has done, and speaks the word of God boldly to those guys there because his literature reminds us. He says, warehousing criminals won't fix them any more than storing your broken TV in the garage will make it work again in 5 years. Yeah, you can't just store something away and think it's going to be better. So what does Terry Linthicum do? What does Fred Slaughter do? They go and bring the word of God to the prisoners. And that's where they get fixed. They get saved. And God meets them there. And boy, salvation comes to those prisoners while they're in jail. They get set free in jail. Isn't that awesome? Most recently, I think about Colin Miller, who on Valentine's Day wore that bold shirt that he wore 2 weeks ago, that beautiful red shirt that John's wearing right now, and Colin's wearing it right now too. God is love. Believe God is love. And then he goes and passes out cookies that says God is love. 1 John 4:16, throughout the town. Talk about a bold witness. That was awesome. Giving the word of God out to anybody who'll take a cookie, you know? Wow. Well, I have to include some of our local missionaries too. Right here in Julian, right now, as a matter of fact, again, as I mentioned, my wife and my kids, the counselors, the junior counselors, Nikki Arias. Nikki Arias is there at camp right now as a junior counselor, speaking the word of God boldly to the kids who've been abused and neglected, knowing that redemption and healing can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can give the kids a good time at camp. We can give them great games and the best food. But man, without Jesus Christ, it just ends right there. With Jesus Christ, camp is life-changing. So they're speaking the word of God boldly at the level the kids can understand when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. They're speaking it to the kids. And those kids are being saved. I think of our missionaries to the outermost parts. I think about the Holsklaws who are in China right now amidst the coronavirus. Here's what they wrote to us just a week ago. Here's a quick update on our situation. They were in Thailand for a conference. They had left China 3 weeks ago. And of course, as you know, the virus really has broken out since then. They asked everyone to stay in Thailand and hold off on going back in the country for a time being. Within the next week, more information is coming, will become available. But please pray for us, for guidance in what the next 2 to 3 months might look like. They've said they might hold them in Thailand for that long. We are still going to head back to Hong Kong on Monday, which is tomorrow. He says, as the risk of infection is quite a bit lower in Hong Kong than in mainland China. He says, the girls, of course, their girls were going to school in China. The girls' school has been closed down. Until the beginning of March, at least. This is happening throughout China. Now, you get a kind of an interesting message from them because they're on the inside. We're getting a message that's kind of filtered through the government, but they can tell us things that other people won't tell us. The teachers are providing work for the students to do at home. So we're kind of back to homeschooling for the time being. They always homeschooled their kids, and for the first time, they sent their kids to the school in China. And so they're used to homeschooling, but other people there are not. As the Lord brings it to your minds, please pray for all of our people. Our group of 120 most of whom are not able to go home at this time, because they were gone for a conference with OFM. As you can imagine, everyone is feeling hugely displaced with many questions regarding what life will look like over the next few months. We're all frightened, not to mention the stress of trying to stay healthy when sickness seems to be moving rapidly all around us. He said, this is the big one. Pray also for the Chinese church, that God would move powerfully and boldly through them as a witness to himself during this season of uncertainty and fear. What an opportunity for the church to declare its faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, actually, they can't write Jesus Christ because it'll pick up their, they say, the Lord, the one who is more treasured than any physical health that anybody could have. Thank you for your prayers. We'll keep you updated as things progress. With love from the whole squads. They're out there. They're out there amidst and amongst the people. So I guess my question to us as we close our time and thinking about the boldness that we can have in Christ Jesus is, how about you? How about you? Who, what, where has God placed on your heart to speak the word of God to with boldness? And you have to ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you going where God has called you to go? Or have you been ignoring him? You know, really, that's the root of the word ignorance, is ignoring-ence. When we ignore God, that's true. If you look in the Greek thing, the Greek meaning of it, it's ignoring something. And when we ignore something, believe it or not, we can become dull to it. If we constantly ignore over and over again what somebody says to us, whether it's a husband or wife, if your wife is constantly telling you, hey, could you just pick up the towel from the floor after you take a shower? And you say, yeah. Well, you know what? You ignore it, you become dull to it, and pretty much you become just a slob in your own house because you're ignoring what your wife is saying. Well, in the same way, we can ignore what God's putting in our hearts, and we can become dull. We become dull to what God's telling us. And so sometimes we get to the point where we say, gosh, I'm not hearing the voice of the Lord anymore. I'm kind of confused. Well, have you been ignoring what God's telling you? Because you might become dull in your heart if you are. And my next question is, if you have been, what's keeping you back from doing what God's called you to do? Are you like D.L. Moody? Maybe your reaction is, I'm not educated enough. I think some people are going to perceive me as simple-minded, or God forbid, narrow-minded, if I were to preach Jesus Christ as the only way to God. And to that, I want to say this. Take heart, because remember, Peter's message was very simple. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Many times, outsiders, people that are not Christians, they have this misconception of us. And they perceive that we're unlearned and ignorant, uneducated people. But we are far from unlearned and ignorant. I would argue that we are filled with wisdom and enlightenment because we've been taught by the greatest master of all time, the one who made the physical earth and the spiritual earth, things that we can't even see, all things that are visible and invisible, Jesus Christ has made. And we've come to a place in faith in him. And because of that, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the respect, the reverent awe for God is the beginning of wisdom. So we of all people could well be the smartest people on earth because we have God's wisdom within us. So we should not in any way shrink back from sharing the word of God boldly with others. Now, we don't go forth in a self-confidence ever. We never do that. That's, as we read in the Bible, every time somebody does that, man, they fall terribly. We go forth in the confidence of God's sure word. We go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, we can know for certain that God will give us the wisdom and the words to share when that moment comes. Now, spending time in God's word, very important, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will call to remembrance the words of Jesus. So maybe we've read them recently. Well, he'll call to remembrance those words. Now, if we've been out of fellowship, if we've been out of the word of God, and we've just cast it aside for a while, again, we're going to be dull. We're going to be dull. And when that moment comes to share, man, we're going to shrink back from it. We're probably going to step aside because we're not going to have that confidence in the word of God because we haven't been spending time with Jesus, for one thing. And so we're going to look to ourselves. And that's one thing that is the breaker of boldness is when we look upon ourselves and say, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I'm not ready. No, you might not be, but listen, when you put your focus on Jesus Christ, ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you, you're ready. You're ready to go forth. He's going to speak through you. And again, if you're saying, you know, it just scares me. It scares me to think about sharing Jesus Christ or the Word of God with others. Well, again, take heart. I just shared 10 scriptures where fear was all around the apostles and the threats were right there. A fearful situation oftentimes is where God wants you to step forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and be bold for him, to speak the Word of God with boldness. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have the whole Bible memorized, but just a few verses that God might call to mind for you would be enough. I mean, my favorite one to share, if I'm at a gas station, whatever, I love John 14:6. You know, I'll just go and I'll be pumping gas and I'll say, hey, how you doing? You know, my name's Tony. I'm a Christian. And man, I try to share Christ with one person a day. And guess what? You're the guy today. And they go, oh no, you know? And I'll say something like, you know, I want to share with you that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? And man, at that point, I lose all my identity in that. I'm risking everything, right? They could think I'm a kook, or they might even feel I'm unstable or something, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because God's called me to that moment right there just to speak the Word of God with boldness. And I'm putting aside my identity, whatever I might be. I don't know what my identity is, but I'm putting it aside and just going out there and say, I'm going to identify myself with Christ. So Kevin does the same thing when he's on a job site. He'll pray. He'll go to a job site doing construction work. And then he'll put on songs that are praise songs, and it's going to get conversation going. And then, bam, there's the open door. He can share the Word of God with boldness. Man, the scene has been set. Identifying yourself with Jesus is going to bring forth boldness. Finally, sometimes even when you don't say a word, man, it's a setup, because people are going to see your life. Just like they saw the lame man healed, as we read about a couple weeks ago, and they said, as we read today, they said, they got together, they said, what can we say? That a notable miracle has been done amongst them is evident to all. Your life is an evidence to all people. I'm just looking around here. I could just pick anybody here. Who do I want to pick on today? I don't know who I'm going to pick on, but Tim, you're new to the church. I'm just going to pick on you. So there was a time that Tim, right there, there's Tim. There was a time that Tim was not walking in Christ. And I don't know a lot about him, but I'm sure he was a lot different than he is now. And there must have been a definitive moment where after he came to Christ Jesus, his friends probably said, man, you're different now. You know, something's different about you. What is it? Your hair is not cut different. You know, you're wearing the same clothes, but something's different about you. And the only variable that was different was that Jesus Christ had come into his life. And he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Holy Spirit filled his heart. And man, something was different about him. And that's true for every one of us here. We could all say the same thing. The evidence is right before the person that you're going to share with. You're filled with the love of Jesus Christ. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you feel a sense of urgency. Like, man, I think the Lord's coming soon. I don't want anybody to have to go through the tribulation, to suffer through that crazy stuff. I want to share with this person. And God's put that person right in front of me. I want to speak the Word of God with boldness. Jesus, please help me. My heart's beating. I'm so afraid right now. But God, help me just to say something. And man, God will help you. He'll help you in that moment to speak the Word of God with boldness. And you know what? You might fumble it around a little bit. That's okay. God honors that. You're his vessel, you know, and that we're all cracked a bit. So we're going to, you know, it's going to be a little messy. That's okay. You don't have to say it like, you know, D.L. Moody would have said it or somebody else. Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham. But, you know, I don't say it like him all the time. I don't. I wish I could, but I don't. I fumble through things too sometimes. It happened on my trip with my wife just recently. You know, I was on the beach and there was this woman there. She was collecting little glass and everything. And I just finished a jog on the beach and stuff. And this, just her looks reminded me of my sister. And so I turned and I said, no, Lord, you put me here right now to share with this woman. I'm going to do it. And I started walking towards her. And as I'm walking towards her, I'm saying, I don't know what I'm going to say, Lord. Don't know what to do. But man, got to that, started talking, little conversation. And we get to the point, and she says, well, you know, I'm spiritual. And man, the door opened. I said, man, you know what? I'm spirit-filled. And we started talking. And man, I shared Jesus with her. You know, and she didn't come to a decision for Christ. But we prayed together at least. And that was good enough. It was good enough. And I'm trusting the Lord's going to take her to the next step with somebody else. So you might not be the one that leads that person to Christ, but man, at least you can share something of the Word of God with them, and God's going to use that. That's not going to be wasted time ever. So take heart when you think about that. Hey, I want to end with that quote there on the bottom of your bulletin. This is from a man who was my pastor for 8 years, Chuck Smith, and he says, the Christians prayed for a boldness to continue witnessing rather than for an end to the threats. And man, I tell you, that speaks volumes. When instead of praying, Lord, just make those mean people go away, or Lord, take away the situation from me. Man, instead we can pray, Lord, this is what's going on. Help me to step into this situation and to speak the word of God with boldness. So I encourage you, pray. Pray for boldness. Pray for wisdom. James said, pray for wisdom. He who ever lacks wisdom, pray for it, and God will give it to you. So pray for God's wisdom. Study the word of God. Like Ken said, spend time reading God's word. You're going to, just like when I learned about the Dodgers more, I was able to talk about them. As you learn the word of God more, you're going to be more confident to go forth and speak the word of God with boldness. Come to the place of faith. Come to the end of yourself. And instead of your reaction being, Lord, I can't do it. I'm so afraid. I don't know what to say. Hey, say, Jesus, you know what to do. You can fill me. You can do something good. And just try to get that response of when you start thinking, I, say, no, you, Lord, are able to do this. You can do this. And just take comfort knowing you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Christ Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you in that moment when you need it the most. So let's pray. Let's close there. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for this time, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, thank you that you've given us the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. Lord, just like our heroes of the faith, Lord, like Peter and John and Paul, Lord, like Esther, God, in that moment, for such a time as this, when she risked her very life to go before the king. But Lord, she did it in your strength. Lord, just like Tim Tebow and Beth Moore and Bethany Hamilton, Lord, like Kanye West, Lord, and just like Colin Miller and Diane Lee and Loretta Sparks, Lord, and Kevin O'Connor, Lord, we can be those people who speak the word of God with boldness right now, right here. And Lord, you are writing history right this moment. His story, Lord, your story, God, with our hearts, God, with our willingness to step out and share with people. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us that wisdom and that boldness, Lord, to do that today. Lord, maybe we've been avoiding somebody, a family member, a friend, a neighbor. God, help us to not avoid them any longer. Lord, for you've called us to such a place as this and such a time as this. Here we are in Julian, Lord, February 16th, 2020, Lord. God, help us today to do that. And Lord, I'm praying too that if there's somebody here that has never come to know you as their Savior, that right now, through your Holy Spirit, you might press upon their hearts the need for salvation. And Jesus, that person that has never before this point ever said yes to you, Jesus, might say, yes, Jesus, I need you. And they might pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me. Oh, help me, Lord. I'm so lost, God. I'm so messed up. Lord, I'm lame. I'm so lame right now. I need you to fix me, Jesus. I need you to fix me up. I need you to save me. So, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I'm just saying, help me. And thank you, Jesus, that you heard that prayer. Lord, you've heard the prayer of that person who's cried out to you. Lord, that's a sincere prayer. So, God, thank you for saving that person who might be here today that has just cried out to you, Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for our time, Lord. Bless the food that we're about to eat, Lord. The simple cookies, God, and the coffee or whatever it is, Lord. And, Lord, as the body of Christ, help us to take care of each other, Lord, to love one another, and then to go forth from here, Lord, and to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth to a dark and bland, seasonless place, Lord, that we call planet Earth. God, help us to take forth your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for coming. God bless you all, and enjoy the fellowship afterwards. If you are a person who has said yes to Jesus Christ for the first time, man, come forward. Let's pray together again. Let's make sure you go home with the word of God with you. And again, get to know each other a little bit more. over the fellowship. Thank you. Good to see you.